You know, occasionally you'll see a wall plaque or a bumper sticker that has these words, blessed. Have you ever seen those wall plaques or a bumper sticker? Occasionally you may ask someone, how are you doing today? And they have a really good answer. They say, I'm blessed. That's good, right? And according to last week's survey, and remember it was an official survey, 100% of people enjoy being blessed, right? Let me share with you two truths about that. The best way for a lost, unsaved person here today to be blessed is to trust Jesus as their Savior today and be truly born again. The second truth, the best way for a saved individual, a saved person here today to be blessed is to obey Jesus. Now, I know that I'd be very surprised if any Christian would say, you know what, I just don't think we ought to obey Jesus. You know, they're pretty much on board that, yeah, we should obey Jesus. They'd answer in the affirmative. But I also know that we as human beings, a lot of times we like shortcuts. Have you ever noticed maybe a relatively new building or a set of buildings or something? They put in sidewalks. And if you'll notice, not too long after the grass gets seeded and everything is good, you'll see there's certain paths because people don't want to go. I almost think they ought to wait on the sidewalks for a while until they let the grass grow and to see exactly where the sidewalks need to be. Why is that? Because we like sometimes to cut corners, right? And I think there's very, very good possibility. There could be some folks here today and you're just sitting there thinking, boy, I just want to be blessed by God. I don't know who doesn't, but I really just want to be blessed by God. But I don't understand why I'm not. Maybe it's because you're cutting corners. Maybe it's because you're not, so to speak, dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And you know, the way to be as fully blessed as you can is to obey the Lord Jesus as best you can. And I know that sometimes that's tough, right? And we all have our struggles, we all have our weaknesses, but this word is the perfect rule book, if you will. This is the perfect guidelines, the perfect owner's manual that tells us exactly how to obey Jesus. But I know that sometimes we're a bit stubborn and we'll say, I'll obey Jesus in 4 out of 5 areas, but forget that fifth area, I'm going to do my own thing. Let me tell you, don't be surprised if God is not showering your life with blessings because you're still taking part of your life and putting it in your own pocket and saying, I'm going to do my own thing. So if you want to be fully blessed, just listen really close today. Today we're looking at part 2 and the last part, good Lord willing, the blessings of obeying Jesus. The blessings of obeying Jesus. Now, the passage that we're going to look at is found that, between John 13 and John 17. And in those chapters, it's called the Upper Room Discourse or the Upper Room Teaching of Jesus. He's in the upper room with his apostles. He's celebrating the Passover meal. And he's instituting for us the Lord's Supper or what we call communion. Before they celebrated this Passover meal together, you know, Jesus, it says, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In John chapter 13. So he washes their feet, dries their feet, and then just before and just after Judas leaves as the one who's going to betray Jesus, he starts teaching his disciples, his apostles in particular. Don't you think in this long last teaching of Jesus that he hit all the points that were important as best as he could get his disciples and apostles to understand? And he's like, this is my last opportunity. I'm not sure what I'll say on my deathbed, but I would think that on my deathbed I'd say something important. And I know that Jesus, everything he said was important. But I'd say probably being the last major teaching of Jesus to his apostles, you would say that he said it with urgency. And he said, now listen, you. And as I find this passage of Scripture, it's the longest, this teaching in the upper room is the longest continuous teaching recorded of Jesus in the whole Bible, even longer than the Sermon on the Mount. And in this whole series of chapters here, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. In these five chapters, the word command, commandment, commandments are mentioned a total of 9 times. So it seems to me that as Jesus is teaching his apostles, we should not be downplaying the idea of commands of Jesus. They're not helpful suggestions. They're not like, well, if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you shouldn't. But the commands of Jesus. Jesus has certain things that he commands us. And you may say, what in the world right does Jesus have to tell me commands and tell me what to do? Well, he did die upon the cross for you. He is your Savior, and you did give your life to him. In other words, you signed over the title of your life to the Lord when you were saved. So it seems to me that one of the main points of Jesus in this last teaching, official teaching of Jesus, is keep my commands. Even in the passage here that we're looking at, we're looking at John 15, verses 10 to 17. 5 different times he uses the word command or commandment or commandments. In John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments. Latter part of that verse, John chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. In verse 12, this is my commandment. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 17, these things I command you. Now it seems to me that Jesus has given a bunch of commands. And it seems to me that if Jesus gave these commands and then he attaches blessings, if we want to fully experience the blessings of Jesus in our life, we got to make up in our mind that we're going to do it the way of Jesus. We need to make up in our mind that we're going to do it the way Jesus wants me to do it. You know, the thing about it, preachers can't make people in their church do what God wants them to do. Sunday school teachers can't make their students do what God has commanded them to do. It's a choice. It's a choice. But I don't know about you, when I take a shower, I don't like a shower head to just kind of drip, drip, drip. You're like, man, this is going to take a while. I'm not going to get very clean, and I'm probably going to stink even after I'm done because I didn't get... I want the full nozzle open, don't you? I want the complete showering of God's blessings. And the things that we're looking at, for the most part, if you're born again, you experience at least a trickle of these blessings. Maybe a partial stream, if you will, of these blessings. But you won't experience the full extent of these blessings if you're not in full obedience to Jesus. And when I say full obedience to Jesus, I'm not talking about perfection. But that would mean that there's no point in your life that people can look at and say, look at that. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in this area. So I want to be blessed by the Lord. You know, you hear a lot of sermons, and rightfully so, on, you know, if you don't do this, God's going to get after you. And that's true. We talked about that in Sunday school, right? The chastening of the Lord. But this message is really looking at the positive side of that. If I do decide to do it the way Jesus wants me to, look at all the blessings that I'm showered with. Last week, out of verse 10, I'll read it to you. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We talked about Jesus showers us with his love. That's a blessing of obeying Jesus. Again, we use the analogy that if you're in a rainstorm, you know you're in a rainstorm. If you want a rainstorm of God's love, obey what he says to do. The second thing we looked at from verse 11, let me read that. It says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The blessings of obeying Jesus, one of them is a life of joy. You know, that smile on your heart, that smiley face, if you will. And the world and the devil wants to keep erasing it, right? But it's internal. It's based upon our relationship with Jesus. So as they keep trying to erase it, I just keep marking back over and say, I'm going to use a permanent marker. And I'm going to put it on my heart. I'm going to experience full joy. Now, again, I think we experience portions of his love as a child of God, even when we don't obey. I believe we have a degree of joy even when we don't obey, but I want the full blessing of his joy. So Jesus showers us with his love. Jesus gives us joy. And thirdly, from last week, Jesus helps us love and serve others selflessly. Jesus helps us love and serve others selflessly. You know, it's a whole lot easier to serve the Lord when you're in full obedience to Jesus than just doing a little bit. And then they're like, I don't want to do that. Good night. You talk. I'm not going to help with Vacation Bible School. Those bunch of kids, those bunch of hoodlums are coming in. You know, I mean, in your brain, why is that? Because you're not serving the Lord. You're not obeying Jesus. If you're in a life of full obedience to Jesus, you want to serve people. And you want to help people. And you want the gospel to go out. And you want to see lives changed. Look at verse 12 and 13 on that point. He says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You see, Jesus set the example of selfless service, right? In verse 17, when you jump over these, it says, these things I command you that ye love one another. But what about today? The blessings of obeying Jesus. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17, all right? Verses 13 through 17. We're going to look at three more blessings of obeying Jesus. Verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, notice, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The fourth blessing of obeying Jesus, it's found in verses 13, 14, and 15. Jesus calls us friends. Friends. You know, Jesus showed the greatest love story ever in what? Laying down his life for us. It says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, really, we become friends later, but at the time we weren't friends. Remember Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? It says, but God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, right? Christ died for us. But he laid down his life, seeing that we would one day be the friends of the Lord. Isn't that something? To be called a friend of Jesus. And he goes on. And he gives some proof of that. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, because the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I mean, you know what's going on. Listen, it says, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Have you thought about this? How lost we would be without this book. Jesus, in his last teaching to his disciples, he says, you know what? I have called you friends because I have clued you in to everything that you need to know. And I have clued you in on even what the future holds, right? Now, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we know what the future is going to hold. And we know what heaven's like, right? We know how to be saved. We know why Jesus came. We know about his teachings. We know what he expects. And therefore, as a friend, he has clued us in. Isn't that great? I am so thankful for the Word of God. I do not know what I'd do without this book. I mean, what do you do? How do you decide what God wants you to do? I guess we'd go around, and as we talked about in Sunday school, maybe just flip a coin every once in a while and say, I wonder what's right and what's wrong. We don't have to guess that. It's in the Word of God. And he calls us a friend. Because he has informed us, he has kept us up to date on what's happening and what he wants of us, what he expects of us, what he demands of us in the Christian life. You know, if we're ignorant of the Word of God, it's our own fault. It's our own problem. It's not God. But let me tell you, every question we have in life, the answer can be found in the Word of God. I didn't hem-haw around about it either. I said every single question that we have that we need an answer to on is this right or is this wrong, it's right here in the book. Any question we have about what, God, you want me to do, it's right here in the book. And God will clue us in as we read and study and the Holy Spirit will work together. This is an amazing book. The Bible says of itself that it's quick and powerful. Quick, that means alive. This is an alive book. I can never exhaust the resources of this book. I can never preach everything that's in this book. There's no way. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You see, it works in our hearts. It works in our lives. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to live. And by golly, it tells us what our future holds. What an amazing book. But one of the blessings of obeying this book and obeying what Jesus teaches us, he calls us friends. To me, as an old rotten dirty rascal that I am, that's pretty amazing. That Jesus still calls me his friend. Isn't that something? Wow. You know, talking about the friend that Jesus, can I tell you that he's our perfect friend, but we're not so much. But he still calls us friends. We'll not even turn there, but in Proverbs 18:24, it says the latter part of that verse, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that's speaking of? Jesus. He is our friend. You know, we sometimes hesitate to tell people about Jesus. Sometimes we hesitate to share the gospel, don't we? You know, this is a win-win-win-win-win-win-win situation for us to share the gospel. It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win for those who need to hear the gospel. Because guess what? You want a friend? You never had a friend like Jesus. He'll never, ever, ever let you down. And one of those blessings of obeying Jesus fully, we're called his friend. I've heard some preachers preach. I've heard a lot of good preachers. A lot of good preachers. And you can tell it didn't rub off on me, but I've heard a lot of good preachers through my days in seminary down at Tennessee Temple when I was getting my master's degree. And now the boys are experiencing that at Ambassador. They have chapel 4 days a week. I don't remember how many days we had it at Temple, about that same amount, I believe. But man, these speakers would come in and they're, damn it. I told someone, someone who's going to Bible college, I was talking to them, to a youth pastor about it, and they's like, they don't know exactly what they're doing in life. And I said, by golly, when they go to Bible college and they hear these chapels and these great speakers speaking and preaching the Word of God, if they can't figure out what God wants them to do, they're not listening. So I just say, what a blessing that is. But every once in a while, one of these preachers would be what I call a name dropper. You know, a name dropper. They kind of wanted you to know. Now, I'm not putting them all in one, but every once in a while, it's like, you know, did y'all know that one of my friends is? Or do you know I'm next door neighbor to? Or do you know that? And they'd mention a name, like, wow, that's something. Now, are you ready for this? I'm going to be a name dropper today. You ready? My best friend is Jesus Christ. Did that get your attention? Dropping those names. One of the blessings of obeying Jesus, he calls us friends. Wow, what an amazing thought. Today, the second point this morning, actually overall number 5, found in verse 16, Jesus enables us to bear fruit for him. When we obey Jesus, he enables us to bear fruit for him. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. What has he chosen and ordained us to do? That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, he has ordained us. He has chosen us that we go out and bear fruit. And you say, what in the world is he talking about? I can't bear apples. I can't bear tomatoes. I can't. No, that's not the kind of fruit we're talking about. The fruit as I defined it, this is simply my definition, Anything accomplished for Jesus that will count for eternity. Anything accomplished for Jesus that will last or count for eternity. That's things like souls being saved. When you lead someone to Jesus, that's fruit. When you draw people closer to Jesus through your lifestyle and through your encouragement, that's fruit. Spending time in God's Word that draws you closer and me closer to God, that's fruit. Praying for good, eternal stuff in the will of God, that's fruit. You see, this is an amazing thought. The God of the universe, through Jesus, allows us to bear fruit for Him. You know, I mean, like, wow. I don't know about, is there anybody here perfect today? Okay, good. We're on the same even playing field, right? There's nobody here perfect, but Jesus still wants to use us. You know, how it's really a shame when we refuse to be used by Jesus because of someone of our stupid ideas or silly notions or one of our selfish ideas. And we go, I mean, you think about it. The God of the universe wants to use us and wants us to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. What can be greater than that? What can be more important than that? Usually what we do, we waste all of our time trying to get all of these earthly toys and possessions and get all these things that we think we need when God says, if you fully obey me, I'll bear fruit through you. If you do what I want you to do, you can bear some fruit for me. Isn't that great? Isn't that almost like mind-blowing that he could use an old sinner like me and an old sinner like you to bear fruit? It says that will last. Not fruit that's just here and gone. You know, so many of the things of this world, you get them one day and you lose them the next, right? You say, I made a fortune in the stock market. And then the next day, the stock market goes, and then you've lost a fortune. I've lost a fortune in the stock market, you might say. It's here and it's gone. It's here and it's gone. Jesus wants to use us to bear eternal fruit. Fruit that will last and be sustained in this life, and fruit that will last for all of eternity. Wow. That's a blessing of obeying Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know, let me ask you a question that I know that you know the answer to. Don't answer out loud, but what's the purpose of fertilizer or Miracle-Gro? Fertilizer or Miracle-Gro, what's it used for? Well, it's used to help your piddly little plant grow up to be big and strong and bear more and more fruit, right? See, as a result of obeying Jesus, he enables us. Just like fertilizer or Miracle-Gro. He just pours that on and says, hey, you watch. Now, it may not be anything glamorous by the world standards, but it's glamorous in the eyes of Jesus. I mean, I know when you go out of your way, and I think of Bobby and Jerry, when they go out of their way to bring young people and kids to church, I mean, that's not glamorous in the world's eyes, is it? And I'm sure there's some downfalls and some pitfalls to that and all. But when they do that, guess what? They're bearing fruit for Jesus. And when God sees things like that, and that's just one example of many, but when God sees us going out of our way to serve the Lord, out of obedience to the Lord, he says, you know what? I'm going to bless them with fruit. And we may not even see it. Really, some of the fruit that we're bearing for Jesus is kind of like, you know, like even preachers and teachers, when they teach, you know, everybody doesn't have a chart on the wall. Look over at the wall just for a minute and check the time out, if you would, by the way, while you're there. That way you don't have to be real slick and say, yeah, okay. I think your watch has quit and bang a little bit. We don't have charts on the wall that tell everybody how we're growing. You know what I mean? I mean, you might have had a chart on the wall. We had one. We had a wall and some board around it when the boys would get, you know, we'd put a mark, you know, put a book on their head or something and put a little mark and put the date and the name and all that and seeing them grow. But spiritually, you can't see that. So you're working with kids, you're working with adults, and you're like, I don't. You know, there could be fruit happening. And I almost assure you, if the Word of God is being proclaimed, whether it's junior church, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's Sunday morning worship or evening worship or Wednesday prayer meeting, about if the word is going forth, I guarantee you it's bearing fruit. And again, we might not even see it, and it may not be a grandiose, but God says, hey, I'm going to enable you to bear fruit. You know, I think one of the amazing things in heaven, if he lets us, we'll hear some of these stories, but we don't know the end of the story. We don't know how this actually turned out. You know, when we give those gospel tracts at the Christmas parade, or when we give the gospel tracts at the fireworks outreach, it's like, you know, we're not seeing people come up to us, preacher, I want to be saved. Please pray with me. You know, and I come up and say Sunday morning, hey, you know, so-and-so, Joe got saved there. It's not happening that way for the most part. But when we get to heaven, we may hear that Joe got saved because we gave him a hot dog, a bag of chips, a bottle of water, maybe even a little icy thing, and gave him a gospel tract that told old Joe how to be saved. And there's fruit in heaven because of that. You know, in John chapter 15, verses 5 and 8, a little bit preceding the verses we've been looking at, Jesus talking again to his disciples in this big teaching time. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that abiding in me is kind of the idea of just doing things the Lord's way, obeying him. For without me, you can do nothing. Drop down to verse 8, chapter 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We're showing we're the disciples of Jesus when we bear fruit. Who else should we be bearing fruit for other than the Lord Jesus? The blessings of obeying Jesus. This morning, Jesus calls us friends. What a blessing. Secondly, the blessing of obeying Jesus. Jesus enables us to bear fruit for him. And lastly, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. I did say lastly. You say, preacher, that means nothing, because I've heard you use that word before. You just keep on going. But here we go. Just be amazed that I have this much energy at my age. I'm looking at the positive side of things. The blessings of obeying Jesus, the last point we're going to look at today. Jesus answers yes to our prayers. Jesus answers yes to our prayers. You see, if we're in full obedience to the Lord, now there's kind of a, you know, kind of a tension there sometimes. We lose our selfishness and we gain the heart and the mind of Christ. So when we go to the Lord, it's like, I'm in the center of your will. And you know, that thing I've been praying for, it's not that big of a deal to me anymore. I'm going to pray for what you want, God. I'm going to pray for souls. I'm going to pray that the church gets filled up. I'm going to pray that we reach the kids in the apartments. I'm going to pray, you know, because you're in his will. Notice what the verse says. It's in this verse, verse 16, the latter part. It talks about, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And here it is. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Wow. That's pretty good, don't you think? Look up to verse 7, a little bit previous. Again, before the passage we've been preaching. But it says, if ye abide in me, in other words, if you obey me and my words abide in you, you're obeying me. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, I like when I pray, God answering that prayer. Yes, don't you? Now, some people talk about, well, God answers some prayers, and God doesn't answer other prayers. I simply say God answers every prayer. But as God, he has every prerogative to say, no. No, that's not going to happen. Or wait, that's going to happen, but down the road a bit, so just keep praying. Or he might say, yes, yes. Isn't it glorious when you pray for something and God says, yes? You're like, praise the Lord. And it really is a blessing of someone who is obeying Jesus. I mean, I really get irked a little bit when we, and I've done it too, treat the Lord Jesus like a heavenly bellhop. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do it your way, Jesus. I might do 3 out of 10 things you want me to do. So praise the Lord, I'm doing great. Like Jesus, but we're doing our own thing on Sundays, our own thing on Wednesdays, our own thing Monday through Saturday or Sunday when I'm supposed to be reading the Bible. I'm not. I'm doing all these other things. And then something comes up. Boom. What are you going to do? And what do? They get on their knees and they get serious. There might even be tears. Lord, help me because I've got a problem. And you know, God is gracious. And I'm glad that you're going to him, even if you hadn't been before. But let me tell you, the Lord Jesus wants to answer our prayers, yes. And if we're in a right relationship with Jesus and we're fully obeying Jesus, we won't be asking these off-the-wall prayers and requests for things that will harm us. We'll be in tune. Do you see kind of the picture? Because we're abiding in Jesus. We're abiding in his word. We're listening to him. We're obeying him. What we ask will be more in tune with the will of God. And he'll say, yes, absolutely. Isn't that good? Isn't that a blessing of obeying Jesus? I think all of us enjoy someone telling us yes, don't they? What about your mom's cookie jar? You remember your mom's cookie jar? Do you ever remember saying, Mom, could I have a cookie? What response did you want to hear? Yes, you can have a cookie, Junior, or a princess, or whatever your name was. What about this one? When your honey, will you marry me? I don't know why in the world she said yes, but she did. But we want to hear yes, right? You're like, yeah, that's good. What about to a mechanic? You want to hear yes. Can you fix it? Mechanic says, yeah, we can fix that. That's good, right? Or to a doctor, can this be corrected? You like it when they say yes, right? This is one of my favorites. Not as big as asking Amy to marry me, but this is one of my favorites. To a server in a restaurant, you say something like this. Can you heat that pecan pie before you serve it? And then if they say yes, we can do that. Well, by the way, after you heat that pecan pie, could you put some ice cream on top of that pecan pie? Oh, and what do we want to hear? Yes, we can do that. Isn't it amazing that some servers are Mr. or Mrs. Negative? They can't do anything. And some of them, they're like, yes, 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 I like yes. And then to add it all, on top of that ice cream, on top of that heated pecan pie, would you put some chocolate syrup on top of that? Woo! You say, if you say yes, you're about ready to start singing a hallelujah chorus, right? But we want to hear yes. You know, you say, well, preacher, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and I'm not hearing yes. Well, maybe. And I'm not saying this is exclusively the reason. The reason might just be that God says, nah, that's not best for you. But maybe it could be that I'm not obeying Jesus the way I should. You know, the Bible says in James 5:17, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you catch that? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, not only one who is saved and righteous by position, but someone who is living righteously in their life or obeying Jesus. It has great sway with God. And God is more likely, believe me, to say yes. Wow. The blessings of obeying Jesus. Today we looked at 3. Blessing number 1 from this morning's message, Jesus calls us friends. Wow, what an awesome thought. We're the friend of Jesus. Secondly, this morning, Jesus enables us to bear fruit for him. You know, some people brag about who they work for, what company they're associated with. Man, we work for the God of the universe. And he enables us to bear fruit for the kingdom of God that will last, eternal fruit. What a blessing. And lastly, this morning, we looked at Jesus answers yes to our prayers. I really believe that this should positively, absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, motivate us, every one of us that know Jesus, to obey Jesus even more. Question. I have two questions for you, all right? And then I'm done. Question number one, almost done. Question number one, are you obeying Jesus right now in your life? Everybody look up here. I want to see everybody's eyes, whether they're blue or green or brown or whatever. I want to see your eyes. I have a question. Are you obeying Jesus right now the best you know how? Are you obeying Jesus right now the best you know how? Second question. Is every eye peeled up here? Is there any area of your life where you are not obeying Jesus? Is there any area of your life where you are not obeying Jesus? Can I encourage you today? We're going to sing a song. It's actually Trust and Obey. Would you come to the altar and would you say, God, help me to obey you? Now, you know, I think sometimes there's such a stigma attached. Like if I go to the altar, people are going to wonder where I'm disobeying God. Let me tell you, you can disobey God in a gazillion different areas. And to be honest with you, we all disobey. I'm not just grouping everybody together and say, well, we're all failures, so let's forget about it. No, I'm saying let's move closer to Jesus. And if there's an area that you can honestly say in your life, I'm not going to ask you what it is. Nobody's going to ask you what it is. Just come to the altar and say, God, in this area, help me to obey you. I'm doing pretty good in that three-fourths of everything. But this one here, I'm still not obeying you. Do you want to be blessed? You say, yes, absolutely, preacher. I want to be blessed. The best way to be blessed in this life is by obeying Jesus the best you know how. If you're here today and you're lost, never trusted Jesus. Can I tell you that Jesus loves you so much that he laid down his life as the perfect Son of God to pay for your sins and my sins. And he says, if you put your faith and trust in me, you can be saved. You can have a purpose for life. You can have joy in your life. You can have a wonderful future to look forward to. So I'd encourage you, if you're here today in person and you're lost, never trusted Jesus, I really honestly don't know what you're waiting on. It's the best offer that's ever been made. It's the greatest love story that's ever been told. Jesus loves you so much, he died upon the cross to pay for your sins. And if you come to him and tell him that you believe that he really did that, and you tell him and ask him to forgive you of your sin, tell him you're a sinner, say, Lord, forgive me, and mean it from your heart, you can be saved. Whether you're listening in, you can call out to God and do it wherever you are, or if you're here today, I'll be somewhere down front. You come up and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to pray with you. There'd be rejoicing in heaven over someone getting saved. You know that? And there'd be rejoicing in our hearts, too, that another soul has been saved.